A media release from a university north of us, the University of Johannesburg, starts: ancient human relative, Australopithecus sediba, quote, walked like a human but climbed like an ape, unquote. Newer lower back fossils are the missing link that settles an old debate proving her early hominins used their upper limbs to climb like apes and their lower limbs to walk like humans. Professor Lee Berger, research professor in human evolution at WITS. Hello, Lee.
Hey, how are you? It's actually, the release was from WITS University, not UJ.
It says, okay, an international team of scientists from New York University, the University of Johannesburg, the University of the Witwatersrand, and 14 other institutions. So I chose one out of 17 and I chose wrong. I think my line should die out. There's proof that I'm genetically stupid.
Not a problem. You know, it's a fantastic discovery. Probably most listeners don't realize, but there's been this huge debate in science for four decades or more about, once we rose onto two legs, which is an exceptionally strange way of moving about the world. Most animals move on four legs. Whether we committed to that in the way that modern humans have, we walk on two legs and we're really actually pretty poor climbers, or whether we maintained a balance. And our teams had looked at fossils. When we discovered sediba, Australopithecus sediba, back in 2008 and announced in 2010, we saw features that said, well, maybe the upper limbs are climbing, but we could never prove it. And in fact, no one could ever prove whether these early hominids were, because we were missing key components. And that component was the one that pains a lot of modern humans, the lower back. It's one of the rarest fossils. Most of them are damaged or incomplete or crushed, and we now found a complete lower back, and it tells us everyone was right. And the idea was that both the hominids could walk like humans from the lower part of the lower back. They have lordosis. They're adapted to bipedalism. But then they were also, as you move up, climbing like apes, and we have definitive proof that they're doing both. It's almost as if they were wearing a parachute against this dangerous form of new locomotion 2 million years ago.
You have proof.
We have proof.
And the proof is those lower back fossils.
Those lower back fossils. You know, I think every human, it's funny how, as a paleoanthropologist, someone who studies ancient humans, backs are talked about all the time. Every modern human knows that the back is our vulnerable point. It's weak. It's our weak point in walking on two legs. Four-legged animals don't have lower back problems. Humans do. And so there's this kind of mystery of, well, why did we become bipedal in the first place? And what we're seeing in sediba is that we didn't make that transition rashly. What happened was, 2 million years ago, at the origins of our genus, that this species maintained a sort of equal measure of both. It walked on two legs, and then it climbed as well as an ape. And humans are not particularly good climbers. All you have to do is, like, watch the recent Olympic wall climbing thing. See, we're not very good. An ape or even a baboon would easily do that, the kind of things that are being tested there. And so it looks like sediba maintained both of those. That's... You know, it's so rare in science to be able to see actual proof of theory, and that's why they're such a big deal, these fossils.
What happened next? What caused sediba or sediba's the next in line to stop the climbing, to move away from something which obviously suited them for a while to both walk and climb?
So that's a fantastic question that I don't have the answer to. But now that we know that transitional moment was there, and we obviously know what came at the end of that, we came at the end of that. The idea now is to explore why that transition occurred, just as you're asking. And it may have been that the demands of things like long-distance running, you know, people often don't think about it. They think horses are good runners or dogs are good runners. Humans are probably the ultimate best long-distance runner. We can outperform almost any animal, in fact, probably every animal on the planet, in super long distance. Yes, we can be beaten a race on a short and medium distance, but on long distance, we can't be beat. And maybe it was that transition to this long-distance endurance that transformed the sort of anatomy of things like Sidiba, the pre-homo thing, to this amazing long-distance runner. It could be that, or it could be something else. And now that we know that it was there, now's the thing to find fossils and to test why that transition occurred.
Lila Kate Sidiba, along the line from pre-hominins to hominins to Homo sapiens, where along that line does Sidiba fit?
So if I were sort of your typical paleoanthropologist, I would be bragging, oh, it's the ancestor of the genus Homo. It's like it's a primitive version that gives rise to our lineage, the Homo erectus, Homo sapiens. But the last decade of discovery, both in fossils and in molecular biology, has told us that we actually know very little. We found more fossils in that period and more discoveries in ancient DNA and ancient proteins than ever before. And they're telling us that I shouldn't answer that question very easily. It's a complex process getting from things like Sidiba to us. So the answer is, I don't know. But no one else knows either at this stage. And that's what's exciting about being science.
What's the rough consensus as to when you can definitively say, okay, that's Homo sapiens? How long ago?
Oh, just yesterday. 150,000 years.
Okay.
Just yesterday. 2 million.
Okay. So a lot happened between Sidiba and sapiens.
But we don't know if it happened really quickly or over a very long period of time. And it likely occurred through multitudes of introgressions. That's a sort of scientific term for sex amongst different species, where different species added their genes in at different times, something we never contemplated a decade ago, to create modern Homo sapiens. You know, when people like me used to talk about humans, modern humans, a decade and a bit ago, we would have said we were like this thoroughbred out of Africa, one lineage that marched out of Africa and took over the world. We now know that we're really like an SPCA special. We're a mutt made up of all the combinations that main lineage encountered over time that made us into this super powerful speech. I think dog breeders would tell you the difference between a purebred and a mutt. Usually the mutts are much hardier. Well, that certainly is the case with modern humans.
Is there a point at which, again, there is as much consensus as one can get with this kind of science when a pre-Homo sapiens was almost exclusively walking upright, Homo erectus?
So let me say, Sidiba's walking upright. They're walking upright pretty much as well as we are, maybe a little differently, and probably other lineages are. But maybe Homo erectus isn't walking in the same way. What we're finding now is that mosaic adaptation was very, very complex and very challenging to understand. And that's where we are, bluntly, in the science. We're in the greatest age of discovery and understanding where human came from in the past. But as we discover more, that simple story you're looking for me to give you isn't real. It's not the T-shirt model that all of us know from a four-legged animal to an upright human somewhere at the end. It's complex, but it's wonderfully complex. That's the challenge that faces this and the next generation of scientists, to understand where every human came from and how we came to be.
WhatsApp Lee says, John, can you ask Prof if it's at all possible that the missing link is from interference from an ancient alien civilization? I ask it with a straight face.
I grew up as a great science fiction fan. I think most scientists are, because we were nerds completely. There is no evidence of alien intervention into either our record or this planet's history. I would love there to be. There's no repeatable evidence. And unfortunately, as a scientist, as much as I'd love for something like that to be true, I need evidence, and it's not there yet.
Professor Lee Berger, a research professor in human evolution at WITS, thank you very, very much for talking to us this afternoon.